Welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast, helping you invest in property for freedom, choice, and profit. You'll learn new, innovative, and multiple streams of property income, whether you want to start, scale, or systemize, and even if you don't have deposits.
Hi, Kevin McDonald here, and welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast. On this week's episode of the podcast, I'm joined by Wendy Brumwell. Wendy is a successful commercial conversion property investor. Not just commercial conversions, she's also done barn conversions, which are commercial and maybe a little bit residential. I'm going to talk to her all about that stuff. So I'm really excited to have her on. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
So you've not always been a property investor. You've been a professional figure skater. Yeah, mm-hmm. You've been a program manager, which is kind of completely different to figure skating. You've been a professional business consultant, an entrepreneur. What made you move into property?
So basically, I was at university living in a student HMO. So for those of you who don't know, a house of multiple occupation. And I lived there, and I was late one month with my rent. And I went to see my landlord. And basically, he owned 25 of these properties around the university campus.
Wow.
And so he lived in a nice house, as you can imagine. So I ended up quizzing him a little bit about, you know, how we got into property and et cetera, the kind of rents that he was making. And then I got back to my room and I did a spreadsheet. I was doing computer science, so that was right up my street. So I did a spreadsheet and I thought to myself, do you know what? I'm studying to do a degree and move into the 9 to 5. Figure skating doesn't pay you money. So I think I was saying that to you earlier. So I was thinking, well, actually, I can make more money renting out rooms than I can on a corporate job. So that's what planted the seed in my head.
Yep.
But don't know what you don't know, right? So I thought I had to save up money to then get into property.
Right.
So I saved up money, would you believe, for about 10 years before I went to a property event and then found out I didn't need any money. That's basically it.
So in those 10 years of saving money, you knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
But you felt like I just didn't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got started.
Then I got started.
How long ago did you get started?
I got started in 2013.
Okay, so yeah, 11-ish years ago.
About 11 years
Really
now.
Interesting, because yeah. I started for 10 years, 2003 to 2013, and only actually properly got started in 2013. So
wow.
I spent 10 years messing it all up.
Yep.
You spent 10 years saving it up. I spent 10 years messing it up.
That's about right, yeah.
So you've also written a book on your
I
journeys. And this discusses the depth and importance of mindset. So
yep.
I guess... what would you say is the biggest mindset hurdle that most people have about property and that they need to get over to be successful in property?
I think the one thing I learned a lot from figure skating was having resilience and persistence. And I think literally when you fall over on the ice, you have to fall over and get back up and carry on. There's no choice. So that's what I think I find a lot with people in property, is that actually it's... sometimes things don't always go 100%, or things don't work out. You don't get a yes from the first offer that you put in, but it's being resilient and going for those no's, isn't it? Getting as many no's as you can so you get closer to a yes. And I think the whole thing about getting back up and carrying on again makes such a difference, because otherwise people give up too early.
Yeah.
And that's often what I pass on to people, is just that literally just go for the no's.
They don't give up on their job, do they?
They don't know. That's exactly it. They keep that full-time job. And it's not always easy, is it, running your own business? But then also it's not rocket science, is it?
Yeah.
It's totally doable. And at the end of the day, there's just a lot of normal people running their own business. Yeah.
You've become very successful in property. You've built up a property portfolio. What type of projects are you like sort of most proud of? What sort of projects have you worked on and done, and what are you most proud of?
Oh, I think one of the ones I'm most proud of, because I had it on my vision board from the start and it was a personal project, was doing a self-build project. So that's what I aimed for. And I had a big vision board.
Yeah.
And I had a picture of it on the vision board for such a long time. And then my property investing journey allowed me to do that, allowed me to make that become a reality. Right. And it was the most challenging thing I did, because also it was personal and it wasn't just business.
Right.
So when you do something that's business related, you have a spreadsheet and you have, right, I can only go to this amount. And everything you do is business driven, isn't it? Mm. And then when it's personal, it's so funny because it becomes emotional. And that's been the toughest point. That's when I overspent, yeah, on the kitchen and God knows what else, yeah.
Did you way overspend or just a little overspend?
It wasn't too bad, actually. But I still had to meet all of the, all the gates to make sure that I stayed within my budget with my contingency and everything else. So it's still like a project. Mm. It was just so much easier to get carried away. And actually harder when you've got a whole array of stuff that you could have. And then you're like, what do I choose?
Yeah.
It's actually easier when you narrow it down. It's funny, isn't it? You kind of think, oh my goodness, I've got all of this stuff I could choose from. And actually it makes life more difficult. Yeah. But a great project.
Within the community, some people know you as the barn lady. Where did that come from? Or is that anything to do with yourself build?
What it came from was that, so I do commercial conversions. And what came up was a permitted development rights on a barn. Okay. So it came from my agent. And so what I ended up doing is doing a joint venture with a farmer.
Right.
Right. And being I'd done the self-build, it kind of yep, fitted in with this. And it was basically getting planning permission on a barn under PD.
Yep.
So wasn't full planning. And that's how it all started. So basically selling this barn with the uplift so that someone could create their own dream home out of a barn conversion.
Well, so for anybody listening, yeah, any of our listeners, PD. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about PD, what it means and how amazing it is.
Sure, yeah. So permitted development means that basically it's planning set at a government level. So almost you already have planning permission granted as long as you fulfill criteria. Now, there's a few more criteria needed for class Q, that's a barn. But there's also E class, which is the commercial buildings that often I talk about when I'm in Peterborough here at Progressive Property. But basically it means you don't have to go through full planning permission, which is basically takes so much time, costs a lot more money. And when it's at a government level, you're literally, it's 56 days it has to be determined in, and you don't have all the costs.
Awesome. So you also mentioned that you JV'd with the farmer.
Mm.
So did that mean when you said about you spent 10 years saving money, did that mean you actually didn't need any money to buy the barn?
No, I don't own it. I do not own it. So he still owns the asset. Basically, I've got what's called as a promotion agreement. So I have the control, essentially, and I have the permission to sell with him. And basically, we work out, here's a base number, and here's the profit split. And we work that out with him.
So what it was worth as a barn, what it's worth finished.
Yeah.
And then he gets what it's worth as a barn, but he waits for it.
Yep.
You do the development that he didn't know how to do, and then you split the profits.
That's it.
Pretty awesome. So for someone who's succeeded, this field, property, many people think property is traditionally men. There's a lot. I'm seeing a lot more women getting into property. For somebody who's in an industry where it is dominated by men, the builders, everybody you're dealing with on site, doing a commercial conversion, I guess 90%+ of people that you'd be dealing with, the trades, etc., are men.
They are.
What advice would you give to other women who are thinking of about aspiring to become property investors like you?
Yeah, so I haven't found it that tricky. However, I come from a background where figure skating was primarily women.
Yeah.
I have to say there weren't many men there. Computer science, basically on a course, 200 people, 10 of them were ladies. So I got a little bit of practice in right there. But there are things you can work to your advantage being female when you've got men around, especially with valuations, because you've got that male-female dynamic. I'd quite often meet with the valuation officer and chat with them. It used to work quite well as a dynamic. And I think you can work well as male and female together. It can work as, you know, really well. And I found genuinely that actually I've got on quite well with men, and I haven't found it such a problem. I think where it becomes daunting, because I do get this question a lot from female property people. They're like, oh my God, if I get into commercial conversions, what is this going to be like? And it can feel daunting if you've got a team full of men around you. But at the end of the day, they're just people. They're just people doing a job. Mm. And yeah, I've never I've never had a problem. I found them easy to get on with. But I think you do have to be confident. You do have to take control. Right. I think that's a key thing.
There's something in the industry known as mansplaining that I never really heard about myself, but I kind of, I guess I probably do it a bit now that I realise.
Do you?
And mansplaining, I guess, for anyone who doesn't know what it is where a man explains stuff to you and tells you how something is to be done, even though you already know it. But they talk to you, I guess, in a way that as if you don't know, because you couldn't know like they know. So have you ever had any challenges with mansplaining, if anybody knows what it is?
I didn't know what it was till today either. So I was glad when I came and said, what's mansplaining? Can you explain that to me? So for me, no, I haven't really. But then I kind of think, do I sometimes say blue and pink jobs? Probably do. The bins, I think, is definitely a blue job. So I just hand things over. You know, I think we were talking about putting up a shelf. I wouldn't know where to start. I might know where the shelf needs to go and go, oh, can I have a shelf over there? But I wouldn't know. So, yeah, I'm quite happy just to go.
You know the room needs plug sockets, but you don't need know where they go.
No.
Neither do I, though.
No.
I don't even know where the plug socket goes. I don't need to know where it goes. I just need to know that there needs to be a method of charging something in this room. So maybe I suffer from, maybe that's why I suffer from mansplaining a lot, because the man's explaining it to me too. Yeah, you just, so never really affected you. People shouldn't worry about it. Your job is to find the deal, negotiate the numbers and let somebody else build the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think my husband usually calls me the boss.
Yeah. I'm the boss in, from my wife's the boss in our family too.
Yeah.
So work-life balance. Speaking of your husband, mentioning my wife, work-life balance. I've got kids. Have you got kids?
I don't have kids, no. No. So I get a lot more free time.
But you got a husband.
I do have a
husband. So how do you get the balance right between family, other meeting other members of your family, not been all in? One of the things I have is I'm so into property that it's constant. So I guess balance for anybody who has got a partner, husband, wife, they need to see their brothers and sisters, nieces, nephews, grandkids, their own kids, whatever it may be. How do you get that balance right? How do you find time for yourself? Even the balance for time with your family, but also time with just windy time.
Yeah, it's a really good point because I agree with you. life is full of property, isn't it? That's kind of how it is. And I think sometimes with being an entrepreneur, if you really enjoy what you do, it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And then basically life just becomes one, doesn't it? And then you don't realize you're working.
Yeah, we're working now.
We're working now.
That's really
weird. And isn't this fun? Yeah.
Yeah.
But essentially, a lot of my family would consider this work and they sometimes worry about what I do. But it is really important to take time out. So I often take time out. I take time out of David Lloyd. But one of the reasons I do that is because I'm surrounding myself with the right people at David Lloyd as well. So there is kind of a reason I go there. But also I find it great. I find it really nice to work there because I can take calls. I can do meetings. I even invite people down for meetings at David Lloyd. You know, people around, because I'm based in Bristol. So I basically meet them there. Come and see me. I mean, David Lloyd, come and grab a coffee. But then I can have a tennis game. Not that I'm any good at tennis. I'm not good at tennis. But I can have a tennis game or I can do a class. And it's really quite nice. It's a change of scenery. So I do things like that to try and, I suppose, get a bit more work-life balance. And with my family, like, for example, Easter, I'm literally, that's it, tools down on, I think, Thursday lunchtime. And then I'm like, do you know what? I'm just going to have 4 days of just do nothing, be with my family. And I take those opportunities to just not do anything. You know, I've had a really busy 4 days here. And so take 4 days out. So work hard, play hard. That's usually my thing.
I was just about to ask you, so obviously you're here at Progressive today. You're running the commercial conversion training.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's obviously a 3-day event where you teach people about commercial conversions and how they can go from finding projects to funding them to delivering them.
Yes.
But outside of the being here for 3 days, what's then a day in the life of Windy? So what do you do on a normal day in terms of the work-life balance, the property day? How does it start? What do you get up to in the day?
Yeah, that's a great question. And no day is the same, I'd probably say. One thing I do every morning, I would say, is some form of exercise or some form of, you know, reading or something that is for me in the morning. So I don't look at my phone until probably about 8 o'clock, because you know we get so distracted with phones, don't we? So I focus on me first thing in the morning, always, whatever it is. And then from there, it depends what I've got on the day. I suppose a classic example would be I'd have some coaching and mentoring calls. I'd maybe have some meetings to do. I might need to go to site. I might have an afternoon where I might take some time out. I might go to David Lloyd and work there and do some meetings there. Might be something like that. In the evening, it varies. So again, sometimes I have networking meetings that I speak at. Sometimes I get the evening off and then I get dinner with my family and we relax and all that kind of thing. Sometimes if I'm super busy, I'm putting slides together for things like today. So it's, I think what I love about it, it's a real mix.
Wow.
So it's never the same day.
How many projects do you work on at any one time?
At the moment, I've got 5 in different stages. Yeah. So I've got one out there that's on the market for sale. So that's my barn. So that's on the market at the moment with its planning gain. I've got a couple going through legals. And then I've got a development project that's literally just gone in for planning.
So you've got a complete pipeline.
Yeah,
pipeline. Start to finish.
That's basically it.
Yeah, because the thing with commercial conversion, I guess, if you find one, do the development and then finish it and wait till you're finished it to find the next one, you could be a year doing, well, like planning.
Yeah.
So if you're going through planning, that's the benefit of permitted development, I guess. You don't even need the planning anymore.
I know, which is so good. Yeah, you know when you're going to get it and you know you're going to get it, which is great.
Of all those projects that you've done since 2013, the ones you've currently got going, which one's your favourite and why?
Ooh, which one's my favourite? I did do an IT training facility into flats. I quite like that one because it's opposite a park and it's I actually held it. So it rents out so well. And I don't know why. I just love it. It's got a river and it's got a park. I think that's the reason. It's got a river. It's got a park. I kept it because I thought, do you know what? This is going to be a good rental. And it was one of my favourites and not my most difficult. So I think it was an easier project. And rents out really well. Lovely location. One of my favourite projects to work on.
And then outside of everything, your favourites and what you've done so far, what would be your ultimate project? So the thing you've not yet done, but you'd love to do, what would that be?
So this is an interesting one. So I've done a self-build project, right? And what I learned from that was that actually I would do things very differently if I did it again.
Yeah.
So what I would like to do is at some point in my life, and everyone jokes about this because they're like, well, you've got your, you know, you've got your dream home. Yes, I have. I love it. But I learned so much from it that actually what I'd like to do at some point, once I've lived in it and loved it for a bit, is do it again. Is do it again and do all those things differently.
Like not overspend.
I know.
Or overspend more.
Okay. I tell you one thing I really learned from it was that I've got an, I suppose, slightly interesting shape on my self-build project. And I never realised going into it, I've always worked with boxes. You know, when we're talking about property projects, we're always talking about, you know, boxes, aren't we? I absolutely 100% will know why now, because you try and fit rooms into a difficult shape building. It's hard. And I'd only worked basically with boxed shaped buildings. And then I thought, well, do you know what? I can be a bit quirky because, I can.
It's a self-build.
Exactly. And I was like, do you know what? You get so much more space in there. You could do so much more with it that I've literally got a whole list of things that I would do differently. Things that I would keep, but also things that I would completely change.
Are they all round rooms in your new house, in the south though?
Round rooms?
Yeah, like not boxes, round.
No, they're square.
Okay.
They're square, yeah. They're all square. But I think it's more the setup. So upstairs, I think we pretty much nailed. And so I've got a nice balcony on the bedroom. I'd do all of that the same. I completely nailed that bit. It's the downstairs that I would change because it's such a, it's almost like, how do I describe it? It's a weird shape. That's the only way I can describe it. And so it caused me a load of problems. That's basically it.
Do you think anybody can do property and do you think anybody can do commercial conversions?
Yes.
Why?
The reason I say yes is because it's a little bit more work than doing a residential project, because some people kind of think that residential is a lot easier. And I would say, yes, it is a bit easier, but it doesn't have to be a lot more difficult. You can start with smaller projects. You can start with something like, you know, four flats, for example, and work your way up.
Mm.
And sometimes with those size projects, they might have been a house back in the day.
Yeah.
And then became an office.
So it's just a bigger house.
It's just like a bigger house. But I often think if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Looking ahead, what excites you most about the industry at the moment? So the future of the industry, the property market, a lot of negativity out there about landlords and investors and tax and the government and law changes. So what excites you about the future? Is it exciting or worrying? And I guess, what do you see as the big opportunity emerging from the current world chaos?
Wow. Okay, so I think one bit I'm a little bit excited about is the possibility, hasn't come in yet, but the possibility of permitted development rights for hotels. So I'm hoping it comes in. Got a few little, you know, a few little saved hotels in my right move at the moment. But that would be great, I think, because I think there's a lot of hotel opportunities out there that you could convert into residential. Mm. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of people out there that need homes, and the more opportunities that we have where we can use permitted development rights to create homes for people. So I'd love to see that come in, and I'd love to do one.
Awesome. So thank you for coming in and sharing your journey with us. If anybody wants to reach out to you, find you, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So I am all over social media. So I'm Wendy Bromwell or Wendy Emma Bromwell. So reach out to me on social media, and my company is Solution Property. So again, you'll see me.
And you run Discovery Days on commercial conversions?
So my next Discovery Day is here in Peterborough. If you want to know more, reach out to Progressive Property and they'll be able to help you out with the dates.
What I'll do actually in the show notes, so we can, if you get us a link for it, I'll stick it in the show notes so people can find it easily. And that'll get you some more information on commercial conversions. And as a podcast listener, can they come for a discount?
Yes, of course they can.
How big a discount would you give them?
Basically, you can attend the Discovery Day for free.
For free?
For free.
So guys, if you want to come and learn about commercial conversions, Wendy has very kindly agreed that if you go to the show notes, click on a link in there about her next Discovery Day, you'll see the dates for when that Discovery Day is, or reach out to the Progressive team for her next date, and she will let you go to it for free. All you've got to do, if you ring the Progressive office, is just say podcast, and they will know what you are talking about as a little gift from me, but mainly from Wendy, because I've just basically bribed her into doing this for you as a podcast guest as well. So take her up on that opportunity to come and meet her, find out more about commercial conversions, and learn how you could do big projects without having to spend 10 years saving up for a deposit like Wendy originally thought she had to. So thank you for coming in and joining us.
You're very welcome.
You've been listening to the Progressive Property Podcast. Remember, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. We're out every single Tuesday. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. I've been Kevin McDonald. Wendy has been Wendy Bromwell. And you have been amazing. I'll see you next week.